listening. Welcome to another episode of Out from the Cube. Appreciate you listening. Getting a late start to the week. Apologize for that. What I've learned about podcasting, and I've had a few people reach out to me about how to set up a podcast, start a podcast, how you get listeners, and how you kind of do this sort of thing. But one thing I have learned, I don't have all the answers. One thing that's worked for us is we use anchor.fm, which was suggested by Gary V. In one of his podcasts, and that's how I kind of got this going. They host it and distribute it, so it's very easy. One thing I have learned is if you don't stay on your cadence, the people that end up listening to your podcast, those numbers go down significantly and quickly. So I didn't get anything out early this week, and you can actually see the numbers start to drop. So it is about getting a cadence with your podcast and making sure that people are subscribing and are listening and things of that nature. So if you are watching on YouTube, which a few people do consume our podcast that way, you are going to see me looking to my right. So here's my leadership lesson for the week. It is okay to say you're sorry. It is okay to say, I was wrong. Forgive me. I will do better next time. I messed up. You were right. I was terribly wrong, and please, please, please forgive me. So I am looking to my right in my kitchen. I'm in a little dining area or whatever in my kitchen. I'm looking over to my right into my kitchen. If you are watching on YouTube, you can see that. Here's my issue, and stay with me on this for a second. What has happened in the past month or so is the temperature in St. Louis has dropped. For whatever reason, in the 11 years I have lived in my house, for the first time ever, mice have decided to come to my house. So it's not that I have had a mouse problem. I'm not sure how many mice have to come into your house to constitute a problem. For some, it may be one. But in the past month, I have caught maybe four mice. And I have caught two in one day. Caught one 2 days ago, which I felt was the last one. I caught one a couple days ago, and so I set these mouse traps around my house, and what they are sticky traps. And these mice run across it and get stuck, and at one point I had seven or eight of these suckers lined up all over my kitchen. You know, and my buddy that is a kind of my exterminator guy that does sprays for spiders and ants and does different things around my house. I called him freaking out. Hey, you've got to come over here. His name's Salvo. Salvo, you've got to come over here. You got to help me get these mice under control. So he was like, hey, calm down. Be a man. Settle down. Relax. Run yourself to Home Depot and get these sticky traps. Set them all over the place. Set them on the baseboards of your kitchen. They're going to run towards your food and just set them up. Perfect. Thanks, Salvo. So I run, get these traps, set them all over the place, and lo and behold, started catching these mice. Okay? I caught the last mouse 2 days ago and felt very good about that. Hey, we got the last mouse. So this morning, my kids were irritating me. I'm just being honest with you. My kids were irritating me a little bit. We got a little bit of a late start. We weren't getting things done. They weren't moving as quickly as I wanted them to, all this sort of stuff. And I was a little frustrated and aggravated with them, mostly with my oldest child, my 10-year-old. Hey, let's get ready for school. Let's get your lunches together. Go get snacks. Put your lunches together. Let's go. So they go to the pantry. My oldest freaks out. One, he didn't want to do it. Dad, I'm ready. I'm fine. I don't need anything else. And I stopped him, said, Camden, do exactly what I say. Don't question me. Just do it. Go to the pantry and get your pudding. Put the pudding in your bag. So he goes to get his pudding out of the pantry. He screams, there's a mouse in there. There's a mouse in there. And I'm freaking out because I know I caught the last mouse. I know I did. So 10 minutes, I take the kids to school and I jumped my kids a little bit. Like I just wanted them moving. I wanted them. There was no mouse. I opened and closed the door. I banged in there. Nothing moved. Nothing happened. I was like, Camden, if that were a mouse in our pantry, it would be running for cover. We would hear it. We would see it. And he was freaking out. I saw it, Dad. I saw it. I saw it. And the whole way to school, I drove him to school, dropped him off the whole way there. I saw the mouse, Dad. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Be tougher. Blah, 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 blah. All this sort of stuff, right? Me being dad of the year, right? Okay. drop them off at school, come home, get ready for the workday, get ready for the podcast, do all this sort of stuff. I sit down and I'm sitting here to the right of me and I hear that mouse eating noodles. I hear him eating noodles and I open up the door and it stops. I come back and sit down and I hear him eating angel hair pasta. I hear it. And I go and I find a broom and I start messing around where the noodles are, and there pops out this mouse. And he starts scurrying around and I start banging everywhere, and I've got one trap left. Over by the door, over by the garbage can, I've got one trap left. And he doesn't go for the trap. He goes somewhere else. So right now, as we speak, or as I'm speaking, that mouse took off that direction into the formal dining room area and did not go where that trap was supposed to be. But I'm going to find that sucker today, and I'm going to catch him on that trap, and he's not going to eat all my – now, I don't know how this works. Do you throw out everything? Everything in there, do you throw out? At one point, they got into the flour. They thought that was a good deal. I found holes in the flour. So I don't know what to do from here. But here's the leadership lesson to all this. I've got to apologize to my kid. He was right. I was wrong. I was frustrated. I told him to toughen up. I told him that, you know, that he's got to get over it, that there's no mouse, that I caught him all, that I was right and he was wrong, and I'm 45 and he's 10 and he needs to do exactly what he's told. And I was wrong. I couldn't have been more wrong. And that these mice freaked me out. So it's 7:30 in the morning. I dropped my kid off. Now I've got to just tell them, you know, what I'm thinking is, hey, I need to send a message to their teacher, and I need to have their teacher say, hey, you know what? Your dad found the mouse and he's wrong and he says he's sorry. But now I've got to, now the other, so I got to apologize to my kid, right? That is the lesson. And then on the second hand, I've also got to catch one more friggin' mouse. I've got to get these mice. For some reason, they all came to my house this year. I've got one left, and that sucker is going to be caught today. So I'm looking for you. And if you want to hear a grown man scream and freak out and jump up, if that mouse makes an appearance in the next 45 minutes, you are going to see it. And that is the video to make this podcast go viral, was to have that. And I was sitting here working yesterday, 2 days ago, when one mouse ran across, but I ended up catching him in the trap. So leadership lesson number one, we're not always right. We always don't have all the information. We don't see everything we need to do to make the right decision. We don't have all the facts, as I've just said. Somebody else may have better information, better facts, more, you know, a better decision. They may see things that we don't see. And when that happens and you make a gut, because you're frustrated, you're anxious, you want to get things moving, you want to get to the outcome, whatever that is, of getting to school and doing whatever. You want that outcome quicker, and other people have more information. And once you figure out you're wrong, it is okay to take a deep breath and say, listen, I'm wrong. We're not done. There's more work that needs to be done in terms of catching a mouse. And somebody else was right, and I was wrong, and it's okay. But we still have work to do, and I am going to catch that mouse. So listen, I apologize. So that's a short story to what's going on with my morning. But there's something that I took a bunch of notes this past week again, like I normally do. Let me also say this. Last week we gave, I was kind of bent on, you know, there he is. He missed the trap. He missed it. He sidestepped it. Oh my word. He went around the stinking trap. How does he do that? Oh, my word. This freaks me out. He went around the stinking trap, and he's a small guy. This is going to freak me out. I'm going to get you, Mickey. Dang it. Well, he didn't go near the pantry. All right, that might be the episode. I don't know what to do from here. Oh, my word. Stinking mouse. It's 17 degrees out. All these mice in St. Charles or St. Louis are coming to my house. Dang it. All right, where was I? All right, so that stinking mouse. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to watch me freak out. All right, I am going to post this. That mouse went around that trap. All right. Whew. So, last week was motivation, momentum, and staying focused. Now, I'm looking over there. That mouse is going to come back. He wants more of that pasta. My word. My word. All right. All right. I'm going to collect myself here a little bit. Who does this? Who sits alone in their kitchen and does this stuff? All right. So last week I was going to create momentum. I was going to change my mornings around a little bit, and I was going to do this. And then I was asking for people to hold me accountable to that, which people did. Somebody reached out to me and said, hey, I want to be the first person to do this. How's it going? And all that. So what I did was, now I'm on edge. I'm jumpy. If you're watching on YouTube, my head in coaching, what they say is you keep your head on a swivel. My head is on a swivel. It is bouncing around and moving. Anything that is going on has got me moving. But that is the last mouse. That is the last mouse in this house. And I'm going to catch that sucker. And that sucker is probably going to catch the brunt of it, right? It's that guy, you do not want to be the last mouse in the house. People held me accountable. So this past week, what I did was I signed up for CrossFit. I did CrossFit for the first time. I've gone 3 times, and my boys did it on Saturday, right? So I changed my whole program around. I am now getting up at 4:25. I am hitting that gym at 4:45. And it might be the most enjoyable thing I've done to start how I start my days now. So that's what we've talked about for a while, was this morning ritual, this bookend of the day, starting your day right. Now, listen, I'm half asleep when I'm doing this stinking workout, right? But it's fun. It's a group of people. It's encouraging. It's positive. It's hard. It gets my heart rate going. It gets my I couldn't be more sore. I sent a friend of mine that is doing the class with me, the one that got me into it, is Joe Quinn. Now, if you know Joe, if you've listened to this podcast, you should know Joe Quinn. I did an episode with him, like episode 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there. And it's actually the second most listened to podcast I have. So go back and listen to Joe Quinn. But it was amazing. So I've been doing this with Joe, and Joe, it's amazing. This cross-training thing is fascinating to me. I can't even do a handstand against the wall and stay in that position for more than 10 seconds. And Joe's walking 50 feet on his hands on a handstand and walking and doing a walk, like a handstand walk. So I don't know if you know anything about CrossFit, but boy, it's really fascinating. So that's how I created momentum this week. So I guess I would ask you there. And what got me going a little bit with this was something I saw on either Twitter or LinkedIn or something. I don't really do Facebook anymore at all, but it might have been Instagram. I'm on Instagram, and Out from the Cube is on Instagram. Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, that's where you can find me. Stinking mouse. And so what I saw was this, a picture of 2 55-year-olds standing next to each other. 2 55-year-old men standing next to each other, both of them holding their shirts up to right under their chest, exposing their bellies. One had a six pack, was put together and was just flexed, and there wasn't any fat on him, and he was solid. The other one looked like he was carrying triplets, right? And no joke, this guy just had a gut that just went out that looked like he was in the third trimester of carrying triplets. And at the top, this meme, I guess they're called, it said, same age, different choices. Same age, and that hit me. I'm 45, and I'm like in my first trimester, right, of a single, like of just having one kid. But I'm in my first trimester of having a kid, right? And if this thing doesn't get under control, I'll be in my third trimester before you know it, right? It's all about choices. And I decided to start making some better choices with my mornings. And it's just a choice. My buddy Joe, that's walking 50 feet on his hands, made a choice many, many months ago, years ago, that he was going to be healthy, fit, and active and productive and do all these sorts of things. And he was going to start his day by doing CrossFit at 5 a.m. And he's got the same choices I have. So getting out of your cube, this mindset of can't do things, not good enough, not strong enough, don't have the, like whatever it is, these limiting beliefs that we all have can easily be taken care of just by the choices. Joe's got the same choice that I have. I get up at 4:30 regardless if I'm going to CrossFit, looking at LinkedIn, watching SportsCenter, chasing mice around my stinking house. I've got to say I'm up. The choice is to sit on the couch, or the choice is to get the CrossFit. The choice is to sit in your cubicle all day long, not be contributing to your team, your product, your clients. It's you to make the choice of 5 more phone calls to sales, to people that you might be selling to. Or it might be you sitting there saying, well, I'm going to choose to write 5 letters to recruits, or make 5 extra phone calls to recruits. Or it's the choice of, I'm going to go out this weekend and go watch these games. Or it's the choice of, I'm spending this weekend with my family and my kids and my spouse. Or I'm going to go run this weekend. Those are the choices. We all, otherwise you're in your third trimester, right? And I am choosing to not do that as I kind of move forward. I'm choosing, but you know what? That choice is going to be, it's Wednesday and I'm going to CrossFit tomorrow morning. And that alarm that goes off at 4:25 sucks. And Joe and these people that do run this CrossFit said, George, that you've done the hard. When I walk in there at 4:50, they look at me and say, George, you've done the hardest thing. The hardest thing is just getting up and getting here. The workout's easy from here on out. But that's just not CrossFit. That's not just working out. That is you going into your cubicle and doing things. The hardest part is getting there, being present, contributing, being engaged with your teams. That's the hardest part. Stinking mouse. All right, so here's what I want to cover today. This hit me this week. I'm going to catch that mouse. For you guys that are listening, I think I lied. I've lied. This mouse is going to have me totally engaged for the rest of this podcast. Dang it. Freaks me out. So listen, I've lied already in this episode. I've told a lie. I think I've told you I've caught 4 or 5 of these things. And if you're smart, if you're a lawyer, if you're really paying attention to details, I have lied and you should be able to catch me in this lie. My exterminator, who does my spiders, told me to go. Maybe I didn't say this exactly like this, but this is what he said. George, toughen up, get yourself to Lowe's and buy some of these glue traps. And they come in packs of 4. I bought 2 packs. So how many traps do I have? I have 8 traps. I set all 8 traps everywhere. I have 1 trap left, which means what? I've caught 7 of those suckers. So I haven't caught 3 or 4 or 4 or 5. I've caught 7 of these suckers. The whole army came in, right? So I've got 1 trap left. And I think, and I'm positive, there's only 1 of those suckers left. So I luckily I got 8, and they better not be like having babies. They better not be in their third trimester. But I'm catching that last one, and he's gonna get a strong talking to, right? And this freaks me out because the last time I caught one a couple days ago, it freaked me out so much I've just put a bucket over it for 8 hours, thinking he would magically just disappear and I wouldn't have to get rid of him. But I lifted the bucket up and he was there. How did he sidestep that thing? All right, enough of that. Sidestepped it though. He totally came out from that area over there and he sidestepped that trap. Niko Medved is the new basketball coach at Colorado State University. The Denver Post did 2 days with this coach. He is the brand new coach. He may have been the assistant there last year. He's been a number of different places, but they spent 2 days with this coach following him around and documenting how he is leading his teams, what he is doing. Now, listen, what I find fascinating about basketball coaches and coaches in general on the athletic space is this. They are always hunting. Always. Always. And you should never use the word everybody, nobody, always, forever, and all that, because it's just not true, right? But I believe this, and this is me as a coach and thinking about myself in the athletic, when I was an athletic coach. Coaches are always, always looking for ways to connect and sell a message to a team. Always. Right? And I say that because I saw on Twitter this morning that, you know, there was a coach that was talking about Kentucky basketball, and he said you cannot microwave, maturity or experience. You can't microwave that. And all of a sudden, all these other coaches that I follow on Twitter, you know, were retweeting that. And this idea of, you know, and he gave maybe a 2-minute talk, this one coach, about Kentucky basketball, but it was that one thing that these coaches found. You can't microwave the experience. You can't microwave the maturity, I think is what it was. And everybody thought that was great because it's a mindset. It's something that helps them connect with their teams. It helps give them patience with their team. And so everybody was kind of retweeting it and had these comments about it, right? And the coaches look for those things in the athletic sense. So what about in the business sense? What about you as a CEO, CTO, CFO, COO, or all these C-suite people? Or what about these directors and managers and all that? Are you as locked in, fascinated, motivated by figuring out ways that you can connect, inspire, and send and sell a message to your team? Are there things that you hunt for that change your mindset to, I guess, lock in your mindset? Or I use this phrase this week with the person I report to, my boss, to that you can recalibrate your mind, recenter yourself, maintain or get your focus where it needs to be, right? Are there phrases that you use to do that? This one coach in particular that I coached against him, and now he is a head coach at a Division II school, and he was the coach, and his name is Sundance, actually. Sundance Wicks. How would you like to have that name as a coach? Sundance Wicks. When he was a freshman or a sophomore in college, we played against him. And I remember on the scouting report before the game going, man, I like this guy. I don't know anything about him other than I know he can play on the scouting report, but I sat there and said, man, this guy's going to make it in life because I like his name. Not because I like his name, but because he has a great name, Sundance. But Sundance, Coach Wicks, was commenting on that phrase. You can't microwave the maturity of your team. That it happens over time and experience and wisdom and opportunity and them being able to deliver on things and learn and be together and all those sorts of things. But if you're not in the athletic arena, how much time do you spend thinking about those things that can intersect? So that again, very kind of long-winded, but I'm going to read some of this article. So if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to see me kind of flipping through this article because it was really good. So here's how the article starts. I'm going to read it. Fort Collins, Colorado. Does this make sense for everyone? Nico Medved asked. J.R. Blount, one of the assistants, quickly answered yes. Dave Thornton, another assistant, made eye contact with his boss for a silent affirmation. Ali Farak Manesh, though, sat quietly, staring up at the projector screen, his face grimacing with more teeth than an awkward emoji. He didn't need to speak. His expression said it all. Ali Medved, the first year coach at Colorado State, asked in this film session with his assistant. It's fine, Ali responded. No, Medved fired back. I want to know what you see up there. Okay, and then he goes, there's another paragraph. But keep that in mind. It's fine, Medved, Farak Manesh said. No, Medved fired back. I want to know what you see up there. Then they talk about, you know, how they got this thing going. Okay, so what he says is this. I think, and so let me just read this. It may not all be of perfect context, but the third paragraph is. On this day, just after 9 a.m., on the eve of the staff's first game, Colorado State's coaches have been watching film of Colorado Christian's Princeton-style offense. The Cougars aren't that athletic a team, the Cougars being Colorado Christian, nor are they that really that good of a team. But they are a tricky team because they're playing this Princeton offense. The topic of the moment was deciding how to guard somebody or how to guard a specific action in basketball. This player isn't really that important. What does matter is that Medved engaged in this exchange for 20 minutes before finally pulling rank and making a decision. So this assistant coach, let me set the stage here. This head coach said, hey, are we cool with everything? It's essentially what he said, right? First sentence in this line is, does this make sense for everybody? Okay, so that's the first line of this article. Essentially saying, hey, is everybody cool with what we're doing? We're getting ready for this game. Here's the game plan. We're watching film. They've discussed players and plays and action and, you know, how we're going to defend and guard things. And then he sits there and says, hey, is everybody cool? One assistant. Yep, sounds good, coach. Second assistant nods his head. Yep, I'm good. Third assistant coach. And a young guy. Actually, I don't know this guy, but I know his story. I know that he's, I think, a young coach. He said, I don't know, coach. What do you see? Ah, it's not that important. Never mind. Never mind is what he essentially says. The head coach goes, no, I want to know what you see up there. Then they end up for 20 minutes being engaged in a conversation about what this assistant coach sees. And then it says, what does matter is that Medved engaged in this exchange for 20 minutes before finally pulling rank. It wasn't that Farrakh Manesh was wrong in his assessment. He wasn't. And Medved told him as much. The problem was that Colorado State would have two starters suspended, all this sort of stuff. But here's what he says. And I really like this. And this article really grabbed my attention. And I love, if you've listened to the podcast at any length, you know I love sport analogy, sport leadership. Because one, I think there's a huge correlation and connection between leadership in business and leadership in athletics. I believe it. It is magnified in athletics because there's articles in the newspaper every single day about it. People are fired because they can't lead. People are fired because they can't sell. People are fired because they can't recruit, and that is selling, that they can't get people to their schools. And it is magnified. If you lose, you are playing. My friends now that are coaching basketball are playing 2 to 3 games a week. And it is in the paper. It is on the radio. It is, in some respects, on TV. Every day, they're evaluated. And they would all agree, I would think, that it starts and ends with their leadership, their culture, and how they connect and communicate with people. And if you can't do that, and so it is so magnified. And that is the same thing in business. Okay, but here's what Medved said. I think it's important as a coach or as a leader to make sure you get everyone's input. I'll ask my assistants. I'll ask GAs. That's a term. That GA is a graduate assistant. I'll ask my assistants. I'll ask GAs. I'll even ask managers because I am genuinely interested in what they have to say. And a lot of the times, I'll make sure I ask their opinion before even sharing mine so I know that they'll be honest and they won't be scared to speak up if their view is different from mine. Let that sink in. Like that stuff to me gives, you know, to quote Jason Wells and other podcast people I listen to, gives me goosebumps, right? I've been a part of teams, organizations. I've observed athletic teams. I have observed business teams. I have talked to executives. I have talked to high-level coaches. I've talked to NBA coaches about stuff like this. And to have somebody sit there and say, I think it's important as a coach or as a leader to make sure you get everybody's input. I will even ask the managers. There's graduate assistants who are going to be 22, 23, 24 years old and have some experience either at other programs or their own program or whatever it might be. Then there's managers. And I was one. I was a manager at the University of Utah working for who was under Coach Rick Majerus. I could not even imagine, and this isn't a slight to Coach Majerus, who I regard as the best basketball coach I have ever been around, but to have him come up and say, you know what, this particular action, this screen-to-screener action, what do you think, how do you think we should defend that? Because BYU is really good at it. What do you think we should do? I would have had to go find another pair of underwear. right? And I would have, that would have freaked me out. This coach here asking my opinion on this. What if he had just asked that question and I had given an answer and he was like, hey, let's go to the whiteboard and let's draw it out and let's really think about how you want to defend it. And then I'll tell you maybe what I think. Wow, that would have been cool. What if he would have said, hey, you've got to be able to answer these questions. You've got to have an opinion on X, Y, and Z. If people are going to ask you, if you want to be successful at this, if you want to crush it, knock it out, and if you want to be 45 years old running a program or being an executive or running a business, you have to know, you have to have an opinion on X, Y, and Z. You have to know how to support your argument because people are going to ask you, and you need to have a foundation built, and you need to have something that you hang your hat on. Wouldn't that have been awesome for an 18, 19, 20-year-old? This is not about basketball. I'll ask my assistants, I'll ask GAs, I'll even ask my managers because I'm genuinely interested in what they have to say. And a lot of times, I'll make sure that I ask their opinion before I even share my own because I want them to be honest with what their view is, even if it's different. Under Medved, this is what it says. I love this. Under Medved, this is the whole paragraph, one sentence. Under Medved, everyone matters. Man, right? I this podcast may just end here with mice and talking about how everyone matters. Under Medved, now you have to understand Colorado State basketball has been in disarray for a number of years. They had a coach that was a tyrant, that got after everybody, cussed everybody, was abusive to everybody. And actually, as this article goes on, these players are so scared of leadership that when genuine leadership, when servant leadership, when caring leadership happens, they look with a raised eyebrow. They are scared. They feel like they're being set up. And it is taking a connection, a trust, a communication, a belief, a friendship for them over time for them to accept that because pardon the language, they've gotten their ass kicked for 4 or 5 years by somebody else. And all of a sudden, you've got this caring, enthusiastic coach that is building it around togetherness and everyone matters. Listen to this. I sent Robbie, I think, is a player. Okay? He is a player. He's a guard. Robbie Berwick. I sent Robbie a text last night saying I wanted to meet with him today, Medved tells his staff, his voice cracking with a disappointed laugh. Can you guess what he texted me back? Listen to this. I love this stuff. I sent Robbie a text last night saying I wanted to meet with him today, Medved tells his staff, his voice cracking with a disappointed laugh. Can you guess what he texted me back? Right? This is your culture. These are your kids. These are the people that matter in your organization. If you're a C-suite guy, a leadership, a director, whatever it is, right now, if you're driving down the road, think of somebody that reports to you. Think of one person and think of that first name and replace it with Robbie. I sent blank. A text last night saying I wanted to meet with him or her today. Medved tells his staff, you tell your staff that. And his voice cracks with a disappointed laugh. Can you guess what he texted me back? In unison, the staff of 3 or 4 people that he's talking with respond in unison. They say, his question is, can you guess what he texted me back? And in unison, they say, what did I do? What did I do? You train people to the response, if that makes sense. And I may not have said that perfectly. Over time, how you communicate, talk with, and the expectations you set on people, you are training them on the response. Right? If you want a certain type of response, if you want a certain type of culture or togetherness or commitment or communication or all, and if you want a certain, I know what I would want. I know what our company wants. I know what we want at Polaris. Right? So it's not this, let me tell you a story. When I grew up, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, and I grew up right outside Seattle, Washington, in a town called Issaquah. Issaquah, Washington, I grew up in. And every Saturday, not every Saturday, you're not supposed to use those words. Most Saturdays in the winter, I would go to ski school. And when ski school would pick us up in these big buses at Issaquah High School or middle school or somewhere, and we would then take a 45-minute drive up to the Cascades, up to Snoqualmie Pass, and we would have ski school for the day. And I would be there from like 8 till like 5. And we'd have lunch, and all my buddies went, and all my friends, and everybody I went to school with, we all went. And we all had ski school. And then I would get, and then I think if somebody would drive me home after the bus got dropped off, and I would be dropped off at my house with my skis and all that sort of stuff, and I would go in. It seems, now I'm going to paint a generalization here that is a reality that is not true. Every time I went home, I was in trouble. So, and it wasn't every time, but it seemed like every time I got home from ski school, I had done something, or my parents had found something out that I had done earlier in the week, and I was always in trouble. So my mind was programmed that, hey, George, whenever you are away for a long time and you come home, you're in trouble. Because that seemed to always happen. Now, the reality is it probably happened twice. You know what I mean? But I painted this picture in my head of slowly opening doors when I got home from ski school, or if I had gone on a basketball camp and I had just got home, because I was always afraid that I had done something and I had all, and I'm about to get in trouble. Now, leadership, parenting, coaching, whatever you want to call it, man, whenever I see somebody that might be in trouble, or my kids, and I do this with my kids. If my kids are in trouble, they always get a hug from me first. They always get a kiss. They always get an I love you. They always say this, and I let them feel like wherever they come from, if they've done anything wrong, that they are safe, that they need to feel appreciated and loved, and that we're connected. Now, that's also coaching, and that's also teams. Man, I would hate it if I knew on Monday morning I was in trouble, or every time my boss sent me a Slack message or an email, or I had a one-on-one or a meeting, that I knew I was always in trouble. Right? Or I had done something wrong. That would suck. Because right when that thing makes that sound on Slack, I know I've got it. So how do you do that with your leadership? So to circle back, they are programmed that if they get a text message from a coach that they're in trouble, they are programmed. Because this coach sent Robbie a text last night saying, hey, I want to meet with you today. And the player texts back, what did I do? Here it is. With my history and being the knucklehead that I am, it's always understandable if I'm getting called in for something like that. It's always understandable if I'm getting called in for something like that. The funny thing is, I knew I hadn't done anything wrong. It's just how I've been programmed. And with everything that's happened here in the past, obviously you know what's going to happen. Man, I think this article is awesome. You need to, this is in the Denver Post, or just go on Twitter and do a search for Niko, N-I-K-O, Medved, M-E-D-V-E-D, and read this article and just try to take as much out of it as I did. Every paragraph, there's something about teams and leadership and connecting and communicating and programming your people. I was on a phone conversation last night with somebody. This person went out and had dinner with this person's at a new company and used to be at a very big company here in St. Louis, and went out and had drinks or dinner or something like that with a bunch of coworkers that she used to work with, and said, man, I got to reconnect with my boss that I had, or the director, whomever it was, the person I reported to. Best person. It's the best person I've ever worked for. The best person that I've ever worked for. And we got so much done. As opposed to, it's just how I'm programmed. With everything that has happened here in the past, obviously, you know what's going to happen. But listen, Tuesday meeting with Robbie was one of three formal sit-downs he'll do with Medved this season. So he sits down three times a year, three times a season. Earlier that morning, Hiron Edwards was in his coach's office for a half an hour. Every player that agrees to play for Medved is subjected to these scheduled conversations that start with nothing to do about basketball, though the discussion inevitably leads there. The purpose is building mutual trust. Medved wants to know about his players' relationships, their interests, how he can assist with those off the court. He kept the same routine at Drake last season. So this coach used to be the head coach at Drake and then at Furman for 3 years before that. The only way he knows how to coach is to care. And by doing so, he said, it's amazing to see how much more he gets from players on the court. So this coach has figured out, if you're not sitting around trying to figure out how to root for Colorado State and this coach, man, then you're not a fan of people that have people under their care and how they go about it. Because I'm a CSU fan. Like, I'm figuring out how I can get a t-shirt today of this, right? The purpose of these one-on-ones is to build mutual trust. Medved wants to know about his players' relationships, their interests, and how he can assist with those things off the court. So one thing I say to my kids as they have gotten older and people in my life and anybody, and I know that people that are in my little community, or even if you're not in my community, even if you are somebody that just listens to this podcast and I don't know you and I've never met you and we'll never intersect other than on LinkedIn, this is how I would like to be, like to think. What are your goals? What are your aspirations? What are your dreams? And what can we do? What can we do to help you achieve those things? What can we do to help you achieve those things? I love this stuff. The purpose is building mutual trust. Medved wants to know about his players' relationships, their interests, and how he can assist with those off the court. He is sitting down with his people saying, this is what he's doing. This is not basketball. This is not a basketball team. This is life. This is a business team. This is all those people that I know, at least in my community, that are driving to work listening to this message, that you all have people underneath you. And you're sitting there going, what are you interested in? What are you passionate about? What are your goals? What can I assist you with? What can I do to help you to achieve those things, whether that be here, off the floor? You know what? I want to be really good at guitar. I want to be able to play like Joe Bonamassa, Eric Clapton, and those people, right? Cool, man. Let's figure out. You know what? Here's five links. Here's five links of guitar. You know, I know that's extreme. I understand that. I understand that's extreme. But it's one of those things where you sit back and say, man, I'm going to do whatever I can to assist you in whatever you want to do. Because I know the only way he knows how to coach is to care. And by doing so, it's amazing to see how much more he gets from the players on the court. If you had that mindset, if you built that trust, if you had that mission, it's amazing how much more you could get out of your people on that project, on that phone call, on that networking event, on that sales call. It is amazing how much more they'll get because they trust you. They believe in you, they appreciate you, and I'm going to tell you right now, it's because they love you. My belief, right? Achieving the trust that has been exhausting projects since being hired 9 months ago at this school. Achieving that trust has been an exhausting project, right? I take so much out of this crap. I'm just telling you, I take so much out of it. Achieving that trust has been an exhausting project. The key word there is exhausting. And I don't know about you, but I think about exhausting projects and my mindset goes, I wonder how exhausting it would be before I'd quit. You know what I mean? How exhausting would that have to be before you say, this blank ain't going to work. This stuff isn't going to work. Right? But when it's the only outcome, and I'm going to develop trust with these 12 people, and it's going to be exhausting. Or you know what? We're making this agile transformation, and it's going to be exhausting, and it's going to be hard, and nobody's going to buy in, and nobody's going to believe in the outcome that we're going to be at in 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 months down the road, and it's going to be exhausting. right? But the staff has torn down walls. They've slowly chipped away at the dam with a plastic spoon since March, and they're still digging. So there's so much in this stuff. The staff has torn down the walls. What's that say to me? That Medved's not doing it alone. That the staff, the people he's hired, he sold that vision to his leadership, the people that he brought in to help him build that trust. I need four guys. Hey, this program sucks. This business sucks. This team sucks. I was brought in because I've got this vision, this mission, this objective, this outcome we're going to get to. Shit, I'm not doing this alone. I'm going to go hire my guys. I'm going to get my people that know what I'm doing, that know what I want, that know how I communicate, that know my heart, my soul, and where we're going and how I care. And I'm going to bring in people that care equally as much about these people as I do. And they're going to come on board. And we're going to grind this sucker out with our plastic spoons. And it's going to be hard. And they've been doing it since March. And they're still grinding. And they're still digging. This player, Robbie's resistance to be alone with his coach behind closed doors, and that was actually an activity that Colorado State did not allow with their prior coach. Wow. Their prior coach was such a tyrant that Colorado State University, the university, the athletic director, somebody high up said, you know what? You can no longer have closed door meetings with your kids because you are such a problem. So that's how bad it was. So Robbie, he is so resistant to being alone with his coach behind closed doors because he is programmed to get his ass kicked. Right? Robbie's resistance to be alone with his coach behind closed doors, an activity that CSU did not allow with this former coach due to his probation for his behavior. He isn't hesitant. That's exclusive. It isn't a hesitation that's exclusive to him. Right? There's another player who's 6'11", 240, an all-conference player that Medved yelled at a few times. Yelling used to mean only one thing, right? So Medved would kind of get at, now at some point coaches get after people, but it's the intent. It's the trust. It's like, even though I coach a bunch of kids, but I'm just going to say, for example, my kids, I can get after my kids. My kids know when I get after them that I'm going to be the first to hug them, first to tell them I love them. And it's because for the past 10 years, I've showered them with love and appreciation and devotion and commitment and all that stuff, right? You have to build that trust up. You can't roll in, as Jason Wells has said in some of our podcasts, where you roll in and start yelling and getting after people or telling people, you're not going to make it to the NBA. And they're like, who's this joker? But it's another thing when you have 4 years of trust and one-on-ones and what can I do to assist you? And the only way he knows how to coach is to care. Man. Okay. Right. I've gone on and on. That is, that's only halfway through this article. Right. And I have a hard stop. Okay. I wanted to get a podcast out. I actually really enjoyed this one. This article, I had notes and notes from podcasts and books and people I've talked with this week, but this article hit me because I knew the shape of Colorado State basketball. I knew it was a sinking ship. I knew it was going down. There was news about it, all this sort of stuff. And I'm always drawn to the leadership, the culture, the communication, and how people lead programs. Anybody in athletics is drawn to that. They're drawn to that leadership because they're trying to sharpen their own sword or saw. They're trying to figure out how they can connect, how they can sit down. Everybody that's listening to this, that is a coach, but everybody you need to go find this article. Nico Medved, and I'll try to figure out how to put this in my show notes or link to it on Twitter or whatever it is. You should read it. Yelling used to only mean one thing. It's funny how we program people. It's funny how we program ourselves. It's funny, not just in business. It's in our personal lives. You know, when you got somebody coming that is say it's a victim. Oh, everything always happens to me. Oh, everything sucks, and I've got no friends. Blah, 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 blah. All this, right? And you see them coming. Oh, boy. Or somebody that you're going to ask one question to and they're going to talk for 25 minutes. you know, everybody's sitting there going, man, okay. Like, it's just like, there's always something, right? Or you could sit there and say, you know what? When I ask that, when I see that person, I walk away from that conversation so uplifted, so encouraged, ready to conquer the world. Those, when I'm with that person, I feel so special. I feel like I can do anything, and I can't get enough of being with that person. I'm programmed. I'm programmed to be mentally, and my mindset is immediately shaped by looking at that person, by having that person walk towards me, or by getting that text message. I sent Robbie a text last night saying I wanted to meet with him today. Can you guess what he texted me back? He's programmed. He's programmed that when anybody in leadership or a coach or somebody I report to sends me a message, I'm programmed to what to think next. Do you program your people to think, this is awesome? Hey, I just got a message from so-and-so and they want to meet with me. I'm super excited because when I leave those conversations, I feel like I can contribute. I feel appreciated. I feel useful. I feel important. And I feel loved. Or, shit, I'm about to get it. Hope I have my job, right? Or I'm going to be asked to work on Saturday. We're programmed. I love it. I love it. Love it. So listen, I hope you got something out of it. I don't know. I know I have a meeting in 9 minutes, but I'm going to tell you what. The big takeaway for this is this. I've gone through 7 of those traps and I bought an 8-pack. I've got one left and I've got one mouse to catch. And I'm going to catch that mouse. And if you are listening to this and if you made it this far, if you don't think that I am motivated and committed on the outcome of catching that last stinking mouse, my head is on a swivel the rest of the day. And I've got one mouse left. And the leadership, the big leadership lesson is this. With your teams, if you are wrong, say you're wrong and own up to it as quickly as possible. I've got no problem telling my 10-year-old that he was right. And I jumped him. I tell you right now, I jumped him. And I told, and I said things I shouldn't have said. Wasn't mean. I didn't cuss at him or anything like that. But he was right and I was wrong. It's okay to be 45 and be wrong to a 10-year-old. It's absolutely okay. And my kid is sitting there and he was like this. If you were looking on YouTube, he was sitting there biting his fingers in the car this morning going, I saw it. I saw it. I saw that mouse. And I saw him. He was looking at me and it freaked me out. And I saw him and dad didn't. And I went right and dad is wrong. And I'm getting my butt chewed out because dad didn't see him. Sometimes you don't have all the facts. Sometimes you didn't see what happened. Sometimes you can't put yourself in the shoes of the people that are seeing what's happening or what things happen to them. And you jump to conclusions and you jump to what you think is right. And you are sometimes wrong. Even to a 10-year-old, sometimes you are wrong. But I'm going to catch that mouse and it's going to be a good day. It's the last mouse. If I am on this podcast next week still talking about that mouse or another mouse, then I'm in problem. Then we got a whole different set of circumstances because I'm not buying another 8-pack. So listen, I hope you have a great day. I apologize for getting this out later. It is going to be released here any minute now. Enjoy it. Have a great week. Subscribe to this. Follow. Like on Instagram. Like this on LinkedIn. I hope you go to the denverpost.com, Nico Medved. It's a great article. There's a lot to take out of every paragraph and you should consider and think deeply on every paragraph because I love it. I think it's a phenomenal article. Have a great rest of the week and I hope you're crushing it and we will have some other episodes this week. Have a great week.